Are you ready to lose those love handles? Do you work hard to stay in shape and eat healthy, yet you can't get rid of stubborn fat? Now there's a clinically proven way to help you look slimmer without surgery or downtime. It's called Sculpture. Sculpture's innovative procedure destroys fat in just 25 minutes with visible results as quickly as 6 weeks. Sculpture sounds amazing, right? Check it out for yourself by clicking on the banner or go to goodbyefat.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Okay, we may have a few little technical hitches here and it will be fine. Just a second. And we're just sorting those things out. You know how it is. The show must go on. That's live TV for you.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the fire.
Well, hello and welcome to episode number 30 of the Being Brilliant radio show. This is Amy Hackett-Jones, your host. I can't believe we're at episode number 30 already. This is pretty amazing. And we already have a viewer on live on Facebook. This is the first time I do the radio show and Facebook Live at the same time. This is pretty awesome. And so I am Amy Hackett-Jones. You can find me at www.amyhackett.jones.com. And I'm all about being brilliant. And this radio show really takes you on a deep inner look at what it takes to be brilliant in your own life and in the lives of those around you and how you lead your life and lead those around you. And today I have with me a very special guest. Dun, dun, dun. Hey. This is Tanya Grant, and I've met her just this week on a course that we're both on in Heathrow. And it's given, the course is given by the UK Hypnosis Academy.
Let's see if I can balance this.
There we go. And Tanya is partner and owner of a company called Wise and Gorgeous. I love it already.
We might be a little bit wonky here, but we are upright, so that's amazing.
Wise and Gorgeous, and they help women to feel better in both their mind, their body, their food. Mind, mood, body, and food.
Yeah,
Mind, mood, body, and food. They've been in business about 3 years now, and I'm going to be talking to Tanya about her journey, her life story, which what I've come to see already this week is pretty fascinating. And then we're going to be talking about the business and what they do, how they do it, and where they're going to be taking it forward in the future.
Am I okay here?
So you're okay then?
Yay!
Tanya, let's just dive straight in and take a look at the whole concept of the show is about being brilliant.
Right.
And I want to, and more often than not, they say, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction, right?
Right.
Which is why I absolutely love getting people's stories. I love telling stories and I love hearing stories. And there's a huge amount of power behind that. And I've actually been studying this over the last few months as well. So, Tanya, tell me a little bit about your life story.
Wow.
The thing about that one is,
I actually, I'm in various groups. I have my own group. I'm in one group that's turned out to be full of really young, excitable, passionate people. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, this week, I have an exercise to do, which is tell your story. And now I can do that. And then I thought, you know what? I'm 43 years old. Which story? Where do we start? Because the older you get, the more stories you have. And I think it depends. What's my story? Got loads of them. It depends whether I've had a bottle of wine or a gin and tonic or nothing at all, or I've been for a run, as to which story comes out. But I've obviously got some current stories going on.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And we're just going to go with the flow. Whatever comes
Shall
up
we?
Is the right story to be sharing.
Maybe it is because we kind of had this conversation a little while ago. We all define ourselves a certain way, and we all think of ourselves as that kind of person. And the hobbies we choose tend to be the things we're good at, and the work we choose tend to be the things that we priorly like, and that kind of makes sense. For me, I was always, my definition of me, my self-image, was fit, strong, healthy. Sounds really big-headed, because sitting next to Amy, who basically looks like a supermodel, you know, this isn't makeup, this is just what she looks like. But I was known as the one with a really good body, and people would say, oh, God, I wish I had your abs, and that, I won't lie, I liked it, but I taught fitness, and so that's kind of very nice byproduct of the job. And I did a lot of writing, and really enjoy, we might run out of Facebook Live space, we might not. And all of that kind of thing. And then I had I'm not sure how much detail I'll go into on this, because it depends who's watching. But I had a few comedy symptoms, nothing terrible. A few areas went temporarily numb that you kind of don't really want numb.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And things like that. And went to the doctor, I wasn't concerned, but I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go and say, doctor, this is a little bit weird. Should I not help you?
Just plugging in.
Falling apart. And the upshot of it was, they said, well, we need to send you for an MRI because you've got some odd kinds of symptoms. And we don't really, we're not happy. Nothing terrible, and our beautiful, fantastic NHS that we really need to look after, because I'm panicking about it at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Persevered where I was going to give up and just put it down to, oh, that, never had that before.
Mm-hmm.
Numb feet, bizarre, and all of that kind of thing. And so I had MRIs on my lower spine, and it got higher and different places.
Oh,
and they
thought
it must be your neck. So I was 5 or 6 times in the MRI machine. And then I had all the doctors were amazing, but one doctor said, shall we just scan your head? Oh, right then. So I went in the scanner, right, okay, this is the story of the scanner. He was very nice, very officious, yeah. And like a very precise sort of man. He got me in and he did the blood test and all the things that you do, and he wasn't really one for chatting, and sort of got in there. You'll be in there for 1 hour and 15 minutes. Okay, yeah, I'll just lie still. Precisely, and it was absolutely precisely. So then I came out, and this very sort of solemn man put his arm around me and shook my hand and said, well, all the best with everything. Good luck with everything. I was like, what
is happening?
Okay, and then the next day I got a phone call, please, can you come in? So the next day after a scan, and you know that's a head scan, you know it's not good. So I've already taken too long. What they saw on the scan was a 10-centimeter mass, which two,
wow,
I know, and 14 other smaller ones, not so, you know, bad, but this big mother was the one that they were concerned about. And to the doctor that was used to looking at brain scans, it was a massive brain tumor. That's what she thought it was, because that's exactly what it looks like. Luckily, beautiful NHS and all of that again, and the fact that I live in a place with a brilliant hospital, mm-hmm. There was another doctor. So it certainly was MS so that's a big shot. I didn't even know what that was, because she said, there's bad news, but then there's some other news. And you're like, okay, bad news and bad news. Bad news and worse news.
Double whammy.
So I didn't know what MS was. And I went with Claire, the lady that I work with. She came with me and she said, it's MS. And I went, oh dear. Not knowing what that meant. And I've worked in fitness, I've worked with people's health all the time. I've kind of not really come across it, although now I know how kind of widespread it is. And luckily, she's such a specialist. And the MS nurses, who are brilliant, absolutely brilliant, had never even heard of this. It was a very, very rare form of MS called tumor-affected MS that only 2,000 people have.
Oh, wow.
In the world, because special, darling.
Of course.
And they said, okay, so it's that. So there's that. Not ideal, really. But we don't know. But it could be a massive brain tumour, or it could be this tumour-affected MS. And then it was a comedy summer of needing to have tests and not being able to have the tests. And anyway, I was racing, because they'd given me choice of treatment. No, they hadn't. They said there are 9 treatments for MS, and they increase in efficacy and risk. You have to go for number 9. You have extremely active MS. They found out by giving me steroids, and steroids would not shrink cancer, but they would shrink an MS lesion, which is what they did. So this, my very, very clever doctor, she had this hunch. She knew it. She said, you shouldn't, with your brain scan, you should have been wheeled in here, and you should be not able to, you
that.
Know, because it was such an active, such a terrible brain scan. It's still, that she's still very, very surprised with what I can do. Like, I have a, they sent a research scientist from the university, because I'm probably weird.
Special case.
But what she said, now this is the thing, this is the spooky thing, universe shit and all of that, explicit lyrics, that I like science,
yeah.
And the lady I work with, Claire, she's not woo-woo, she's incredibly brilliant, and she works in mindfulness, and she wrote the course that the psychologists use, you know, seriously, but knows the stuff. But she's maybe more of the universe side of things. She's shown me that.
Universal energy.
Because I was like, yeah, right. No, universe stuff actually is true. So, where was I? Brain stuff.
you're talking about the doctor.
Yeah, talking about the doctor. And so she said that these not very efficacious. Is that the right word? I think so. Effective. Anyway, these not very effective things are what we could use with you, but it's kind of too serious for that. So we need you to go to number 9, which is effectively what they used to use for leukemia. It is a chemotherapy, but it is not chemotherapy. So luckily you don't lose the hair. Not that I've got a lot of hair. For the listener, I've had a rather extreme haircut with shading because my hairdresser is sadistic. And so I have that, and... the idea of that is that, and it's not experimental, it's just new, is that MS is your immune system attacking itself. It's attacking the myelin sheath of your brain, in the nerves, in the neurons. So they fire randomly, hence the random and comedy numbness and various other strange pains that weren't real things. So it just resets it. It knocks it out. So you have 3 months of really not being able to fight off anything. So you're warned against being with anyone with a cold, or being with little children, or anything like that.
So low.
I tell you what, it does send you. Yeah, they take it down to zero. So your T cells are zero, and then you slowly grow it back. And then when we get to September again, they're going to do it again. So they knock them all out again, and then you grow them again. Now, normally at that point, they'll scan in between and see what's changed. At that point, they'd see, and you may or you may not need a third round. Sadly, with Theresa May and with the changes that have been made to NHS England, there is no third round anymore. So for 40% of people who need that third round, and it's not a cure, because there isn't really a cure for MS, aside from this brilliant stem cell stuff that's going on, this kind of halts it. So if you've had lots of damage in the past, and people are very, very severely affected, you've had it a long time, and it's a really cruel and horrible, it's a very undignified disease, and I've learned so much about it since. But hopefully you stay where you are. And as I had probably a year of not... of brain fog and the odd random thing, which plays up a bit if I'm tired, and but all of us do an extent, don't we? But it should halt it there, and it should at least slow it down so much that it's kind of like a cure. But it's amazing. I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky to have that doctor. So lucky they didn't chop into my head. And what it's done is make me start looking after myself properly, which...
Herein lies a lesson.
Oh my God, what a lesson. Because I thought, right, I've got this job to do. I've got to build this online course. And actually, the thing I was going to say is that the doctor said, what you've done is you've effectively, weirdly,
universal energy stuff,
is you've designed your perfect treatment. So the reason we think that you're not severely disabled is because of your course. I was following it to an extent. I wasn't following it 100%. If I'd been following it 100%, maybe I wouldn't have got the symptoms at all.
Okay. So I'm here interviewing Tanya Grant of Wise and Gorgeous, and they help women to feel better, working with their mind, mood, body, and food. And so we're just talking about her journey into MS, discovering that she had an MS and a big brain tumor.
Is it lesion?
A lesion, yeah.
Thingy.
And so the big learning is?
The big learning is, and I knew this, I've been teaching this for years, but the big lesson is you're not invincible. It feels like you're invincible.
Yep.
So when I would tell people earnestly, because it's not a lie if you mean it at the time, right?
Yeah.
Earnestly, you must get 7 hours sleep. 8 better. You must. There's for so many reasons. And scientifically, I could list the sleep. You've got to take time for yourself. You've got to, well, the eating was always fine for me. But the working too hard, the not tearing myself away from the computer because I had this job to get done and it was so important to get it done. Wasn't that important, was it, actually?
In the big scheme of things, and this is something I learned last year as well, with my dog dying, my mother dying, my grandmother dying. My other dog went yesterday as well.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And you know, my biggest takeaway from 2016 and all this,
2016 can just do one, do not think. Oh my God.
On a universal level, I think so many people say like that.
I was fine before 2016. My goodness. Oh my goodness. What a year you had.
So, yeah, and it was really all about living in the moment, being present, being brilliant, which is all about this, what this radio show is all about. And what I really learned, my big takeaway from 2016 was presence. And just being so present to the people around you. And like you're saying, self-care, what is the importance of self-care? Because we do run ourselves ragged, we stress ourselves out, we have this to-do list that goes on forever, and we just on the hamster wheel. And actually what's really important is friendship, it's health, it's family, you know, it's humanity.
It really is. And you think it's not, and you think, here's the thing, after, I will relax, I'll go for that spa break, I'll go to bed early, I'll read that book.
One day when?
After, because what happens, it's like when people are going to start eating healthily, these are the times people start eating healthily and exercising. After the children go back to school, after the summer holidays, after Christmas, after Easter, Monday. And all these, after the event, I'm going to get, you know, sort myself out for the wedding. And then after the wedding, it goes, it's always after this, because that's what happens with life. Our course is 6 months long. And we hear it coming and we go, here we go. I'm really sorry, I'm going to have to put the course on hold because something's happened, because somebody's ill, or because of a job thing. And you just go, can you think of any 6 months in your life when something massive hasn't come up? Because it will. And this is the best time to learn how to look after yourself. So I had a bolt from the blue, which is, matey, you got to slow down.
Oh, here.
And my lovely partner, Claire, that I work with, and it's like knocked sense into me. She'll text me pictures of water, glasses of water. Because she can't even be bothered to type it now. Drink water. Oh, yeah, brilliant.
Oh, yeah, quick reminder.
And setting a bedtime alarm and all the things I've taught people.
Yeah.
And
actually doing it yourself.
I feel so good. I mean, I know I'm sort of off the back of that year of awful and the Kingsman business and the steroids, which steroids is worse than the Lemtrada, which is what the drug is called. And I cannot remember feeling better. And that's because, and this is what Claire said, you're going to have to look after yourself like a princess.
Yeah.
And actually,
I love that.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? And look after yourself like a child.
Yeah.
Because this is what we do for children. We make sure that they socialise, make sure they go to bed on time, that they eat properly, that they don't spend too much time in front of a screen. We all know that, don't we?
Yeah.
Not just instinctively, but logically.
Yeah.
And that they've drunk enough water and that they, you know, all the things that we do for children. We don't do that for ourselves.
Yeah. That's so true.
We put it off. And because we're getting older,
it's
more important than for the children, almost.
And that was something else I took away from last year as well, is I've always been healthy, I've always been really athletic. And when I left Panama in 2014, I was physically fit, I was doing triathlons, so, you know.
You were super fit, weren't you?
All that stuff. But because I then came home and my primary focus was my mum, and it was care, give, I completely forgot about me. And just sort of ended up eating normal and not really exercising and doing a bit of yoga once in a while, but not enough. And it's just, it's only now that I'm really getting back into that full on.
So you've got something coming up, haven't you?
My move to London.
Yeah, but, and is it a half?
Oh, half Ironman. Yes, I'm doing a half Ironman in September. So that's a mega goal for me because usually I do smaller distances. So this is a big challenge, which I'm looking forward to.
So looking after it, it's amazing. I'm guessing I'm fit. I don't think I could do that. maybe I could. Oh, you believe the story?
Well, telling about the hypnosis would be learning.
Yeah, no, it's been very strange indeed, isn't it? And I think the way that you were looking after your mum, she was quite right, top of the list of priorities. She had to come first. And then everything else filtered in under that. And then there's you at the bottom doing all the stuff and making, keeping everything together. I think for a lot of people listening or watching that that can be their family and their children. And they slot in right at the bottom. Yeah. Usually, do you know what's awful? What makes me really sad when I talk to women, under the dog and cat, they'll make sure that the dog and cat
get fed and walked.
Yeah, and they haven't themselves. Yeah. And I just think it's you literally can't, because I've also seen women, a bit like me, thinking I can do everything, and actually all these things don't apply to me because I am a superhero and I'm invincible. Turns out, who knew, I'm not, that literally go to pieces. And then who can help everybody? Where's everybody else in that?
It's like the classic story I always tell, and I'm sure you've probably heard it as well, is when you're in an airplane and the air stewardess, when she's giving her talk about safety, etc. Yes, very good.
Thank you.
She always says, put your mask on first before you put the mask on your kids or anybody else. And the reason for this is that you're no good to that kid if you haven't got a mask on. You can't put a mask on the kid if, you know, you... So, yeah, self-care, the importance of self-care. So let's talk now a little bit more about your company, what you do, what your sort of driving force is. And I want you to tell us about your course that you run.
You know how difficult it is for me to be concise, don't you?
So I'm going
to
try. I'll really jump in.
Just punch me or something with your Iron Man fist.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yes, so I work with a lady called Claire Wakeford, and together we are Wise and Gorgeous, which I told you in the lift, doing my elevator pitch, which I really can't do. I was in a real elevator and it still didn't work. is to make our aim and our goal, what we do, is to make other people wise and gorgeous and feel wise and gorgeous, which is actually the most important thing. It's not about us, because people say, oh yeah, which one's wise, which one's gorgeous? No, it's not that, it's about you. The way it started was I was teaching classes which were to do with fitness and nutrition. And I hate saying nutrition.
Why?
It's a little bit fitnessy, kind of the annoying.
What would you rather insert instead?
I would like to just say food, the things people eat.
Yeah. Keeps it simple.
So food and fitness and teaching dancing. And just as an aside,
she's an incredible dancer, by the way.
Oh, you have we done any dancing?
No, we're going to be dancing on tabletop.
So doing all of that, so I was doing class, and actually I think Claire came for children's class, which is an aside, is a little separate business. And we got chatting, like super hit it off, right? Really, really hit it off. And found out that what she does, which is mindfulness and yoga, and she actually works in the mental health field in the NHS.
Which is important,
social services,
isn't it?
Actually. Oh, gosh. Yeah, totally.
It's everywhere.
That what the other did, each of us needed. So when I was talking to people about their fitness and the struggles with women that they always have, and that's another podcast completely about how they feel about their bodies, which was essentially not great.
Yeah.
And that's a wider issue to do with the messages that we get from the world around us. But, you know, losing weight, it just makes me shudder. But I needed to be able to speak more authentically and with more authority about the mental health side of things. And I'm not an expert. And I always think the yoga phrase is stick to your mat, stick to your lane, isn't it? Don't talk about, I'd rather say I don't know. But actually here I had this expert who was dealing with people's health problems, mental health problems. Yet for many of them, as they were battling depression and anxiety, the very thing they needed
was to get healthy and to be out walking and exercising, using their body, eating better, looking,
the endorphins pumping,
all of that. So yep. Between the two of us, we have this kind of set of skills, and we've both been at it for, we worked out, nearly 25 years each.
Oh wow!
I know. So that's like
expert.
Old woman. So we've got like 50 years of what am I doing with my head? 50 years of experience between us that one person wouldn't have time to do. They just wouldn't have time to do it. So we sat and worked. Well, you heard the upshot of some of the hard work, but to begin with, it wasn't quite as frenetic. Yep. We wrote a course that we thought was the perfect combination of all those things and everything else we thought that we needed to teach to women to make them feel better, just to make them, to transform the way they felt. A lot of these women felt as though they had low mood, that they didn't enjoy their body,
right.
all of it. So we designed a 6-month program that would gently guide them through it, including things like, bizarrely, decluttering their house, because sometimes,
which actually
go.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
I have spent 9 months, I kid you not, 9 months since my mother died, I have spent 9 months clearing out my mother's stuff. She lived in a very big house with my stepfather, and 9 months it's taken me to clear out her stuff. I'm 2 weeks on my stuff. 9 months to clear out my stuff. In amongst organising funerals and memorial services.
That's a hellish time. That's an awful time.
But yeah,
and you did that at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You are actually superhuman, aren't you? I think you are. I think the viewers know.
So, it was, and it's been actually a very therapeutic and cathartic process to go through, part of the grieving process to go through my mum's stuff like that, and also to share the journey with a lot of her friends. So they've been wonderful.
Yeah,
they've helped me out no end. So it's been fantastic in that sense. But even now, before I move to London, I'll be putting the sort of dots on the I's and crossing the T's of my stuff and literally going back to living out of suitcases, which is actually quite fun. No possessions, no belongings, get rid of it all.
Did you find that, it's almost rhetorical because you've kind of alluded to it, that even though they're things and they're just possessions, that it is, we're talking about metaphors today, mm-hmm. A lot of possessions that we have and things we hold on to are a metaphor, or they're almost a tangible expression of times and
yes.
periods of your life.
Yeah.
And so you had, and that's, did you do it on your own?
I had the friends, and then my brothers. I have one brother in Russia, and he's popped over 3 or 4 times, and my other brother was around as well to help
but
sort
so
out
you've that. Been through her life story, haven't you?
Oh my god, and my mother never threw anything.
And your mother had beautiful
ever.
Things.
She had beautiful things. She never, she was from New Zealand, and I don't know how, but she, and I found her brownie badges.
Oh my god.
Her sewing machine from when she was like 12 years old, which weighed an absolute ton.
That's probably worth about £1 million.
Don't know about that, but yeah, I mean, it's been a process.
And you've kept it together.
I have, and well, thank you.
Well, you have.
And
that's what you do, isn't it? You
are,
like, my course was perfectly placed for my illness.
Yeah.
What you do, kind of.
This whole inner peace journey. And somebody, another one of my interviewees actually said to me, I sat down talking to him one day, and he goes, "You're grieving really gracefully, aren't you?"
That's just a kind of wonderfully poignant but beautiful
thing.
Yeah,
and I thought then, I was like, oh, # grieving gracefully. Because it's not, I mean, when you're in the middle of the throes of grief, it's not something you, I want to grieve gracefully. But because I've done a lot of work on inner peace, that has been part of my process, and I've been sharing it online, and I've had so many comments about it, and people...
When you're good at writing, I think writing's a really cathartic thing anyway. It's trite, isn't it? But it's totally true.
It is, yeah.
I know, but really silly, that just came to mind. We're going to talk about a different singer who I'm obsessed with, but I love David Bowie. I passionately loved him, and my friends like Bros and all these, and Boy George, and I was like, but what's the matter with you? Because there's David Bowie. I mean, he's David Bowie. He formed the soundtrack of my entire life.
Oh, really?
And I mean, it wasn't just lusty, but it was, you know, that would probably spoil it. But the morning that I woke up and had the news about David Bowie, I just made a beeline for the computer. I just had to write it, get it out of my system. I know that's silly, isn't it? But whenever anything big happens to me, I write it at length. Sometimes I don't share it. And I never delete it, but there's some ranting that I've gone back to and thought, whoa, is that where I was? But maybe that's what you've done. Maybe you've externalised a lot of the stuff that you could have kept up there.
Yeah, it's always good, always better out than in.
Oh, always better, even just jotting down. We on the course, we send them a lovely box of presents, project presents, we call them, and they're not expecting them, which makes it more exciting because they write.
How long is your course?
Oh, so we talk about that. It's 6 months long. The signature. We've got little courses, got little body confidence courses and things, which are quite fun.
Okay.
But this is the big serious one, which is thinky, dewy.
So do you sit in a work though?
We kind of find out your baseline, where you actually are, and deconstruct that a little bit, and then put it together in a much more useful way as you become fitter. It's a big thing. The ladies that do it are spectacular. We've got a new lot of ladies doing it at the moment, and they've embraced it.
Where do you do it?
We do it online, totally online.
Oh, amazing.
But it's not the kind of course where you buy it and then you never see the coaches again.
Right.
We are with them. We're with them all the time. We're watching. If you're watching, we're watching.
We've got our eyes on you.
They know it. We are omnipresent. We know what they're doing on the online because we tag everything, and we're terrible spies and
stalkers.
But more than that, we set things up so that we can see what people are doing. And it's not daily. We have a group that is our elite course that we do speak to them face to face a lot. But actually, the group, the majority of people do the project group course. And the group together teach as much as we do.
Of course.
Totally, totally do. We learn from people all the time. We're learning as much as they're teaching
us. Community.
And we were saying it's so cheesy, your vibe attracts your tribe. Totally true. We always attract the most magnificent women. That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Because we just, as I said, we email a lot. And we've had flaming pitchforks from... Hey, okay, so this is true. We're at the end of a class once, and I'd written a blog about... Probably shouldn't say the name of the company.
About X?
About one of the major of the two... In fact, I wrote about both of them for balance and, you know, the universe. Slimming clubs in this country. And my blog, I had a lot of hits on it. And I was quite angry, and I'm actually way more chilled now, but that one of these again, and this is why I'm so cross, and this is why they set women up to fail, and this is why it's unfair, and this is why they're making people focus, and I wrote, and they were, so yeah, a lot of the people in my, actually, I've got this mum's group on Facebook, with quite a few thousand women in it, and yeah, I didn't really think about it that most of them actually do go to a slimming club or have been. So I was there attacking something.
Right.
And yes, long story, I did a follow-up. But the point was, I was criticising something, and that's easy. We can all criticise stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's super easy, isn't it? But so we said, because that's actually what we do, okay, well, if we're going to criticise it, we have to put something in its place. We have to do something better. That's what formed the project, which is the name of the course.
Fantastic.
So we thought, we can do better. We're not just going to be like the trolls of the internet, just saying, yeah, well, that's rubbish because of that. We'll do something about it.
And create something. And
yeah, nearly killed us, but we created it. And it's amazing. It gets better every time.
Fantastic. So I'm here speaking to Tanya Grant of Wise and Gorgeous. What is your website, by the way?
It is www.wiseandgorgeous.com.
Fantastic.
There's loads of... free things there, so if you want to go there, download some stuff. I change them all the time. Probably meditations. I've probably got the odd workout. Oh, chocolate check. Right. So if this is important, if you really can't stop eating chocolate, because we had a week of people going, oh my god, I think it was Easter. Literally can't stop eating chocolate. I feel sick, but I'm still doing it, and all of that. We've done a training on that, and that's free to download as well. But more important, it's a little bit silly. And if you're interested in this kind of thing, I do spit TCP into a bowl. So if that's the kind of thing that floats your boat, you can find that. But more importantly than that, actually, Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time with a woman called Anna, who used to be at the slimming clubs, and it literally ruled her life. It formed her history. And we decided in the process of writing the project that we would get Anna's story. And actually, we've got it right. Only watch it if you've got the time. I think it's 68 minutes. So it's instead of whatever soap you watch, or if you can find an hour to sit and watch it and you've ever struggled from yo-yo dieting, it's called How to Stop Dieting. And it's on the website. Click it. We put everything we know. It will change the way that you look at yourself, and it will change the way that you do things, and it will make you feel, if you've yo-yo dieted, we're going to make you feel better. Just watch it. You can download a workbook to go with it, but you can just shut your eyes. I really recommend it. But there's no sell, there's no pitch in it. It's just
amazing.
We want you to feel better, and we want to free you from what they call the Ogark said, the diet club straitjacket. It's a straitjacket that you can't get out of. But we can free you from that.
Wonderful. So that's on www.wiseandgorgeous.com. How can they find you on Facebook?
Wise and Gorgeous. It is Tanya and Claire with a Y. Tanya and Claire. / Wise and Gorgeous.
Cool.
And great, yeah. Come on, do it live.
And on Instagram or anything.
Oh yeah, on all of it. On all of it, just Wise and Gorgeous.
Wise and Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Wise and Gorgeous. I just love that.
Our group, our Wise and Gorgeous group. So we've got all these mum groups. Yep. If anybody knows anything about mum groups, they can be emosh. Close to mosh, say. But our beautiful place, our little haven on the internet, is our inner circle. Wise and Gorgeous inner circle. And
amazing.
That is only full of the coolest people in the whole world.
I can't wait to join.
Yeah, come and join. And we give you free stuff all the time. And yeah, there's tons and tons and tons of free stuff. So yeah, definitely get it, because we put our heart and soul into it, because we're passionate.
I can see that.
Really?
So this is Tanya Grant from Wise and Gorgeous, and she has selected her favorite upbeat inspirational song of the moment, which is
I just do a caveat before you play it? A little bit parental advisory. A little bit. But nowhere near as bad as the rest of his stuff. But story for another time. I was a very young mum the first time. Now I'm an old mum. And this is a video and a song with a message that I would like played. I wouldn't have done anything differently. My children are literally the best children in the whole world.
Of course.
But not even of course, just back. I think this is such a great film that should be played in every secondary school, because I think it would get through to quite a lot of children.
All right, so this is Get Better by Scroobius Pip.
Yeah.
Boys got that hungry look in their eyes. They want to be grown up and have respect, you see, but they're acting unsexually. I am saying be celibate. Go out and have your fun. But there's plenty to do without impregnation. And there ain't nothing wrong at all with having children. Just build yourself a little before you try to build them. And
isn't that just the most amazing
message? I love it. I love him so
build
much.
Build yourself a little before you try to build them. Try to have them.
He's just he's a poet. He does it via rap music. So more people listen, and I adore him. He's great. Some of it's quite dark, but all of it absolutely says something important. Yeah.
Amazing.
Which not all rap does.
Yeah, and it's just such a great message.
Mm.
And because it's the medium of rap, the young kids can listen to it, be with it. It's not like it's a classical tune or something.
Totally.
It's speaking, using their language, so to speak. Amazing. Cool. So on your 6-month program, you're covering mind, mood, body, and food.
Yeah.
And you've got your business partner who does a lot of the scientific factual.
No, I'll tell you what, nothing would ever get started if it wasn't for me. But seriously, nothing would get finished if it wasn't her.
She's crucial.
And I find it really difficult talking about things without her here, actually, because we normally kind of.
Everyone's bounced off each other.
Definitely.
Okay. So, what would be a journey? I mean, what are one of the or two of the things that people realize, women realize about themselves when they go on this journey with you?
Okay, the big thing that they realize is that, and I know we're going to cover this on the course tomorrow, which is why I'm completely fascinated, because this is my thing. That they come thinking they want to lose weight, they literally do, and we never promise it. Fact is, it usually happens. If they need to lose a few stone, they'll lose it. Usually happens, but we certainly don't promise it because we're not interested in it. But what we find is they get to the end of it and they find out, actually, I'm okay as I am. I'm fine as I am, which is so much more important. Oh, you have no idea about Totes Emotion. Honestly, we're just all the time, but it's because they do the work. They're doing it. We're not doing it. We're facilitating, providing the tools, but these women do the stuff. But it's undoing a lifetime of messages from the world saying you're not good enough.
Yeah.
Oh, if we had time, I would talk about the amazing KD McCaffrey, who does a module on the course. We've got these guest instructors now that are proper experts. And she works in the field of, it's actually, this is really not cheery, but primary rape prevention. But it's nothing to do with having your keys in your hand ready to attack someone. It's way back before that. Way back when little boys are told that they've got to man up and be strong, and that the teenagers.
It's like this song, isn't it?
Totally. The teenagers, the boys haven't you had sex yet, and the girls have got to be like super gorgeous, and they've got to have the boobies and the short skirts and everything, but they can't be a slag. And all of that. So it's really powerful. We've got very powerful training about that. But the fact is, we all feel that we need to fit into a gender box, men as well. It's as important for men, it works for nobody. And once you find out, and the training is quite exciting to deliver because you get this, it's like the scales fall from the eyes. It's not true. We're trying to fit into an ideal which does not exist. The models don't look like that. The models who don't look like that, the most beautiful girls are there, and they're still airbrushed and lit and changed. And we measure ourselves against them.
Yep.
Anyway, that's one. So the number one, you're beautiful as you are. You're gorgeous. Somebody falls asleep thinking about you as you are now, perfectly fine as you are.
Mm.
True.
And it comes back to this, the. I mean, I call it, or look at it or see it, as the number one core belief that humanity has. And it's basically that we're not good enough. We all believe, whether you have fears or anxieties or stresses or phobias or whatever, as we've been learning in this hypnotherapy course this week, the issue is never the issue. So you may have a phobia of spiders.
I seriously love that I wrote that down.
I love that. So, you may have an issue of spiders or, fear of spiders or birds or whatever. But actually, when you strip that back, you peel back all the onion layers, what you get to more often than not is a core underlying belief that person believes that they're fundamentally not good enough. And
It just
it almost brings me to tears every time when I work with people like that, because that's been mine as well for so long, and I've been working on myself for a while now, but it's and every time you work on it more, it just dissipates more.
So
and more and
with gender boxes, right? You,
yeah,
Amy, yeah, at Jane, you fit into the box.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, you're tall and you're beautiful and you're accomplished and all of those things. Yet, that's the important thing. Yes. You still didn't feel like you're good enough.
Yes.
So people are trying to be you and you still didn't feel as though you were good enough.
And I'm trying to be someone else.
Yeah. So it's an utter nonsense.
So funny, isn't it? Because and then when you really start to get into being in your own skin and learning to accept and love that, the experience of life, being here now and presence, which was one of the big things I took away from last year, wow, it makes such a difference.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? It really does.
Totally.
Yeah.
Having a wonderful little beautiful doctor lady say, if it is a tumour, it's very big and there's not really anything that we can do about it, that will sharpen the mind.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, do you know what? I love literally love jive dancing. I'm probably better at some other things, but I passionately love jive dancing. I haven't done it for 10 years. What's with that? So this thing that you love,
yeah,
I'm pretty good at it. I won't lie. But that's not the issue. So that I wasn't doing because I was busy. What? Not doing something that you love? Because you're and jive is just an example.
Yeah.
But I feel very fortunate to have got that, to have had that, because now
I
you've seen me, I muck about all the time.
Yeah,
I possibly was a little bit sore, and I do play a bit, but because life seriously is too short, and normally you have to wait for your old person to realise that.
Yeah.
I luckily got the warning now.
Yeah, and that would be something else I'd add in there. If anybody out there does have a dis-ease of sorts, you know, the body, something I've come to learn is that the body never lies. And if something is out of balance physically, it means an emotional thing going on inside that you haven't addressed, you haven't looked at. And it's like it's a message from the body to say, hey, something's out of balance.
I was very furious when somebody said that to me, but I totally agree.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
You fix that thing and then you get better as the song.
This and this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Amazing. So, mind, mood, body, and food.
And butt kicking.
And butt kicking too.
Very important, because willpower, you know, you have no willpower. No one does. That's the secret.
Yeah,
that's what
one
tells you. We teach you that. We can show you how to get over that.
Get over that, totally. So given that this is a Being Brilliant radio show and we've gone live for the very first time on Facebook, what would be your top three tips for our listeners to take away for being brilliant?
I'll be very honest, you wrote that down and I've deliberately not looked at it because I wanted to see what came to mind for being brilliant.
Yeah.
But to be brilliant, I suppose, is feeling brilliant, isn't it? And brilliance is about passion. And I think if, as I was just describing the dancing, if you have something that you're passionate about, and it doesn't have to be something so obvious as I'm passionate about dancing, because the people that do arty things are passionate about what they do. But if there is something, a time, a place, it might be a person or a pursuit, or you know what it is, you know what you're passionate about, do that and you will exude brilliance, meaning like the literal term, the literal use of the word is bright. You'll be bright. Do that thing, and if somebody says no, if somebody doesn't, you don't need anybody's permission, actually, go be brilliant, and that's their issue. They're going to have to work, they're going to have to work through their own stuff, but you deserve, you're allowed to do that thing that's going to make you brilliant, because you're supposed to. We're on the earth to grow. That's why we're here. That's the meaning of life. In case you didn't know the meaning of life, it's that. We have to grow. You have to, like the sunset, you have to get better. So it's more, or it's stronger, or it's more creative, or you've written something that will help someone else. But whatever it is, it's expansion. We're here to expand.
We certainly are.
Yeah.
So what would number two do?
Oh, gosh, three.
And I don't know, the epic.
That was an epic one, wasn't it?
It was pretty epic.
Being brilliant. I think I may be stretching it a little bit. You've got to take time for yourself.
Yeah.
Because
self-care.
Yeah, but more so I think actual okay. time on your own. I think the world is so busy. We have so many demands, and we're especially women, and I know men would go, yeah, but what about us? Yeah, totally. I understand you've got to do all the man stuff, whatever that is. But women, often, as Amy was, are the carers, and they are their family expect them to be the carers, actually. They naturally are given that role, and we're told we're good at multitasking. Mm-hmm. It's a lie. No one is good at multitasking. You do loads of things, but you have loads of things given to you to do. And so solitude is so underestimated. And I know it's very middle class and Waitrose going to say, book yourself a spa day, darling. And I know that's not something that everybody can have, but everybody can go for a walk in the woods.
Yeah.
And do you know what? Sometimes I've spoken to people that never, literally don't, never have a screen within 2 feet of them. Go without your phone.
Yes.
Go without your phone. And, you know, phones in bed and all that kind of thing. You have to get away from it. You have to. And it sounds hippie, woo-woo, and, yeah, but I've got to be in. You haven't. You have. The world won't
fall apart.
It won't fall apart if you don't have your phone for a couple of hours. Some solitude, very important. And you'll see what, and you won't see why until you do it. Okay. Yeah, that's
amazing. Number three.
Number three, being brilliant. I'm going to have to think about that. That's not like me. Normally I can just talk. Number three is surround yourself with, it's a little bit like number one, isn't it? Pick your team.
Yeah.
I wrote a blog called Pick Your Team once. I'd been watching on Netflix. Do you watch Netflix?
I don't actually.
Do not?
You don't.
Okay, so I've just said get away from a screen. I'm told you to watch Netflix. But actually what I do with screens is be very, very selective. So I don't have homes under the hammer on in the background.
No.
And all, you know what I mean? Just that kind of trashy magazine. I don't. If I ever do watch something, I've decided. I've had recommendations, and then I will binge like the obsessive compulsive person that I am. But anyways, watching Dexter, who's a serial killer,
right?
Which is nice. But it's a really brilliant show. The serial killing, not so much. But I wrote the blog post about picking your team, and Dexter had a team, and I described each of his team. And I think when the way that we live now, we're not always close to our family, and you know, as you get older, family members die and things shift about and everybody shuffles into their new position. Friends are what used to be family when we were young. And I think, and actually this is something that men really do suffer from, is to lose touch. Women are brilliant at keeping in touch with friends, but they're not always so discerning about who to keep and who not to keep. And yeah, they are so cheesy, but a season, a reason, or a lifetime.
It's so true,
isn't it? Because I've got friends that I don't see anymore, and we haven't fallen out, but I don't see because our lives don't really meet anymore, and they were great then. And they're not right for me now. They're not right for my team now, but my team now is spectacular. And then sometimes you'll find that you do need to let someone go, because like Cole was saying, they can drain your energy.
Yeah.
You can feel them draining your energy, or even they'll just phone go on and it's all just always negative. It's always about them. Pick your team. I think that's number three for being brilliant. So your team can lift, like, the way that I'm so fortunate, don't know how I've worked this, I've wrangled it, but that your team can pick you up. So when you need it, they're holding you up and supporting you, and obviously you're doing that to your team as well, which often gives you as much as you get.
Yeah.
It's true, isn't it? But only with the right people. So picking
And there's
your
also
team.
That phrase, I think it was Jim Rohn or something like that, said, you are the sum of the five people you spend your time with. So if you're the sum of the five people you spend most time with...
I hate how true that is.
I know, but if you think about... Seriously, for a minute, think about the five people you spend most time with. How conscious are they? How present are they? How abundant are they? How supportive are they? You know, all these different things. Are they where you want to be yourself? And it's like, because they do influence all of you. If you are super healthy and super fit, and you have four other friends who eat McDonald's and junk food and that sort of thing and don't do any exercise, bet your bottom dollar, give it 6 months, not even that, 12 months maybe. By the end of that time period, you will have lost your edge in your health and fitness, because they will be bringing you down.
And that's the thing, it's okay. As you travel through life, you change. Yeah. Your team's going to change. It might be, I mean, I've got a couple of people I'm thinking about now, always will be important to me, and they will always be in the frame. And even if we don't see each other all the time, I think of them as, you know, we don't, we always say friend of the show, that friend of the show. But around that, it can change, and maybe you'll drift away from people and come back to them as they sort through whatever issues they've got going on. But yeah, that team might change, and it's not a bad thing. It's not like...
It's to evolve.
Yeah,
and you evolve.
You're not the same person as you were 5 years ago, and that will be the same in 5 years from now.
Amazing. So this is Amy Hackett-Jones from the Being Brilliant radio show, speaking to Tanya Grant of wiseandgorgeous.com, and you can find her on Wise and Gorgeous all over social media. Helping women to feel better in mind, mood, body, and food. She has a 6-month program, which sounds absolutely amazing. And her 3 tips for being brilliant were to feel passionate about the thing that you do.
And the thing that you feel passionate about.
Choose to do the
thing.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
And really take time for yourself to be in solitude, to be alone, to be with your own company and learn to love that.
And to be with
a voice in your head too.
Game changer.
Yeah. Totally. Total game changer. And also to pick your team. Pick your support team. So
your support vehicle up coming up behind. You're gonna need that, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're half Iron Man.
I know.
Iron Woman. What do they call it, Iron Man?
Iron Man. Yeah.
Oh, I think you should probably have a word about that.
I know.
Iron person.
Yeah. So thank you so much for being here.
Very
it's been a
welcome.
Huge pleasure. This is Amy Hackett-Jones.
And I'm loving feeling taller than Amy sitting on her bed here.
So this is the Being Brilliant Radio Show, episode number 30. This is Tanya Grant from Wise and Gorgeous and Amy Hackett-Jones from amyhackettjones.com. Thank you all so much for being here. It's been a huge pleasure to have you listening to the show. So I'd love you to go out there, shine your brilliant lights and be your brilliant selves, and I'll see you.
Can I just check before I go?
Yeah.
Have you clicked subscribe here?
Yes.
Have you clicked subscribe? Because Amy hasn't, have you not done Facebook Live before?
No, this is the first time.
Okay, share. Share with, do Amy a favor, all this amazing content that she's going to do. Share it with everyone you know. Fabulous. Just that.
She's part of my tribe. Amazing. Thank you so much. So we're going to head on out of here right now. And thank you so much, guys.
Pleasure.
Bye for now.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Yay! You're amazing!
Oh my god.
You're so good. That's funny. I know it's almost
long.
All. No, it's fine. Let me just end there for a second.
Is your garage full of old paint that you'll never use? I know mine is. Avocado green, hot pink, antique white. That is a nice shade of white, though. You know, it's easy to recycle your paint all over California. Keep what you need and recycle the rest. Find a drop-off site near you at paintcare.org.